discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion. And ultimately, thrive exponentially in life. And most importantly, in business. On Sudden Eye Impact with your host, Lee. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with, greater than, greater than. The environment you put me in, greater than, greater than. The circumstances that I'm faced with. Yes! And your life counts, and enthusiasm definitely makes a difference. Hello and welcome. You're live on the Sudden Eye Impact Show with your host, Lee, coming to you from the DFW Metroplex. On the Sudden Eye Impact Show, we have fun, we learn together, and we encourage one another. On the show, we discuss a variety of topics such as, but not limited to, personal responsibility, accountability, accountability partners, creative vision, belief systems, the power of belief, the power of thought, the power of partnership, the power of words, entrepreneurship, visionary leadership, creativity, consciousness, awareness, being the observer, service, innovation, finances, relationships, goal setting, and goal attainment, to name a few. On our show, we share concepts, principles, processes, and systems that work if you work them, that deliver good and great results. The show's mission, purpose, and intention is to discuss simple, basic, fundamental ways to help everyday people experience more fulfillment, satisfaction, enrichment, enjoyment, health, mental health, and overall peace. Through utilizing your own latent resources that lie dormant within you. The show is spiritual, inspirational, and motivational, expressing powerful, energetic, electric content that anyone can take and apply in any area of their life to change their life for the better or to change their life for the best. Immediately following this bio, the next voice that you will hear will be Katrina Friel. For more information about Katrina, you can reach Katrina at K-A-T-R-E-N-A at Becoming, B-E-C-O-M, ING, the expert, thexpert.com.au. Katrina is a business coach for the conscious business mentor to be awakened. She is a four-time international best-selling book author. She's an international speaker who's won several awards. For those that want to become an expert in their field of excellence through seven streams of income, discover how to become an expert in their field of excellence and make their sole purpose a reality, discuss your secret dreams with someone that can make them a reality. Katrina is the how you have been waiting for. With no further ado, Ms. Katrina Friel.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'm calling in from Sydney, Australia. Great to see everybody and hear. Dwight, welcome. Thank you for having me and appreciate the intro. Today, I thought what we'd do, at your request really, is to talk about money, 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 finances. And I thought what I'd do is really just focus in on that very big topic, but really focus in on sales and sales philosophy and you know, I want you to start to have a think, just sort of close your eyes at this point and have a think about when you think of sales, what is your perception? What is your view on sales and selling and money and asking for money and invoicing? Just close your eyes for just a little minute and have a think about what is your perception, because whatever you're visualizing right now is your mindset around sales and selling and money. And so what I find in the last sort of 20 years of working with people is that they've got a very negative picture that comes up when they think of sales. And sometimes when I ask them what's the picture that's coming up, they have got like a smarmy, yucky, sweaty, oily car salesman type picture. And as long as you've got that picture going on in your mind, you're never really going to want to do sales. or close sales, because you're visualizing that person in your mind. So I want to, by the end of this session today, I want to sort of be able to change that picture inside of your mind. I want you to completely flip it. I want you to completely change it. And so I'm just going to go through and talk about my philosophy around sales, and finances, and money. And let's see if we can't, you know, improve, so that if we can change our mindset and if we can change our view on sales and get rid of these negative views, then we probably have a much, 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 much better chance of loving sales, loving money, enjoying the process of selling and not being so negative about it. So sales is something that has been in my life and in my career for a long time. And so I suppose if I was to really boil down my career, I suppose there's a lot of sales roles inside of my career. And so at some point or another, I had to learn how to do it and I had to learn how to love it. And now I love to teach it. I love to teach sales and anything to do with sales. And hopefully today you'll get a lot out of some of my philosophies around this topic. So we started off with your perception of sales. So make sure you write down what you saw inside of your mind's eye. And then when we close our eyes at the end of this session, let's see what comes up instead. Okay? So the first thing to have a think about is I want you to do a SWOT analysis on your sales skills. So a SWOT analysis, for those that don't know, is where we look at S is for strengths. So what are your strengths when it comes to sales? What are your strengths when it comes to finances and money and making money? Write all those down, and you should have a really reasonably long list of things. Dwight, do you want to sort of give us what your strengths are when it comes to this sort of thing? Maybe we could sort of look at your SWOT analysis for the time being. Would you like to play with me?
Yes. Being in retail for a lot of years, I would say my strength is focusing on the receiving process, basically trying to attempt to go from truck to shelf, because if you don't have product or in stock, there's nothing for the customer to buy. So that overall affects the level of customer service. It affects the ability to be able to operate and receive cash flow. Because a lot of people think cash is king, but really it's cash flow is king. Because the moment that you shut the cash flow down, there is no cash. So cash can't be king. So it's all about having the product at the right time in the right place for the customer. If you don't have product or a service at the time the customer needs it, it shuts everything down.
So what about if we think about, rather than product, because that's either in stock or out of stock, if you're a staff member, you obviously don't have a lot of control over that. So what I want you to do is focus on your strengths in sales. What do you bring to the table? What have you got control over? So you're obviously very good at customer service. You obviously are customer-centric. You are customer-focused. That is a massive strength. So let's add that to your list. What else can we add to your list, Dwight, just to give people an idea of how to do their strengths?
Knowledge. In-depth knowledge of the product or service that you're offering.
The product.
And knowing your brand.
Now that Yeah, absolutely. So product knowledge is important. If people don't know anything about it and they're not an expert in their field of excellence and they shouldn't be on the floor selling it. Not to say that there isn't going to be a learning curve when you start a role or you start a business and you really throw yourself into product knowledge, but I'd like to see from people that they're throwing themselves in and every day they're learning more and more about it until within a couple of days, within a, you know, if it's a more complex sale, within a couple of weeks, a couple of months, you really have become the expert because you have, you care enough to go deep with the knowledge that you need so that you're the expert in the room. The customer doesn't know. The customer doesn't know what they want or what they need. They shouldn't have the same level of knowledge as you've got. And so I think knowledge and showing that you care and that you're enthusiastic about it, but not going overboard as well. So you want this to be a strength, knowing how to read the customer. You want to be able to read the customer to know how much detail they need and how much detail they don't need. So if you have a look at somebody who's perhaps a visual person, visual people tend to not need a lot of detail. So you'll see their eyes glaze over when you start talking about too much stuff. So really learn how to read your audience. This should be a strength. If you are a people person and if you are a customer-centric person and customer-focused, then it's very likely you know how to read people. So put that on your strengths, guys. That's great. So let's move on now. You can keep going with the homework. So strengths is one list I want you to do. The next step in the SWOT analysis is to look at your challenges, to look at your weaknesses. I don't like to call it SWOT analysis. I like to call it a SCOT analysis because the C represents challenges. So what might be a challenge on this list? Let's go back to Dwight and see what might be a challenge or a bit of a weakness. Dwight, what do you think might go on this list? Something that you can control that's to do with you?
I would say multiplying your mode of operation or your knowledge base. Because I consider myself a quick study, so I may or may not have the patience to teach someone what I know that's not grasping it. You know what I mean? Like, I would have to see the commitment level there. I would have to see the effort there. Similar beliefs, thought patterns, and value systems.
Okay, so a lack of patience. We'll just wrap that up in a lack of patience. And that's good to know. This is good self-awareness. If that's your issue, guys, put that on your challenges. It's certainly one of my challenges. If people can't pick it up quickly, then it is a little bit frustrating. So this sounds like a management issue, you know, when you're training staff and you're managing staff, and if you picked it up really quickly, then you expect others to pick it up really quickly. And so if you are a manager and you are training staff, then the outcome of how well they pick it up and how quick they pick it up is actually a pure reflection of you. So instead of what we do when we look at that particular challenge as a management skill, we look to sort of take the responsibility on as the educator. And so educators, by their very nature, are actually quite patient with their students. And so that normally flips the lid on that particular problem. So that's a great challenge. And so what we're going to do now is we're going to move the challenges over into opportunities to learn and grow. So in the SWOT analysis, we've done strengths, we've done weaknesses and challenges, and now we're coming over into opportunities. So that's the third one. So opportunities to learn and grow, what you do is whatever you've written down in your weaknesses and challenges, you bring it over into opportunities and you flip it. And you say, okay, what do I need to learn? They're my gaps. And so we look at patience, for example. and we come and bring that over into opportunities to learn and grow. And we say something like, to learn the management skill of training staff. And then the minute we learn the management skill of training staff, suddenly we've got all the patients in the world, because we see ourselves as educators and we see ourselves as responsible for the outcome of the student. And if the student doesn't get it, then it's our job to keep going with the training until they get it in the way that they need it. And sometimes when we look at training staff, we've got to understand that there's four different learning styles. And this is one of the things that you can put in your opportunities to learn and grow, is you can say, okay, I'm going to learn about learning styles. I'm going to learn how to train in a visual way, in an auditory way, in a kinesthetic way, and also give the student as much detail as they need or as little detail as they need, depending on their learning style. So they're the four learning styles. So we won't go into those today, but that's just a little heads up that that could go on your opportunities section. Okay, and the fourth and final section of the SWOT analysis is looking at threats. Now, with threats, the only threat I see really that we can control and influence is our ability to keep up with change and keep up with technology. So I would put in your threat, I would say technology. And if you bring that threat over into opportunities to learn and grow, I reckon that turns into something along the lines of keep up to date with technology, respect technology, because if it gets away from you now, it's going to be a tough world to live in, because technology now has come so far. And if you are in business and if you are in sales, then sales is driven by a lot of technology now. And so you've really got to get your head around that. It's a massive threat for everyone in any role. But in sales, I think we really need to have a healthy respect for technology and make sure we're not rolling our eyes at new software that's here to help us, or we're not rolling our eyes at learning about a new product because it's technical. So anyway, that's a SWOT analysis. So I don't want to labour on too much about SWOT. I just want to set that as homework, and I want you to go off and have a think about your strengths, your weaknesses, your opportunities and your threats, and do a SWOT analysis on yourself so that you can see what are your gaps in regards to sales and selling. Okay, I want to move on to the next principle now. The principle of sales is often people feel like a bit of a beggar. And so if you are visualizing being a beggar for sales, then what I want you to do is stop begging for sales, because that energy is what you're putting out there. This, give me a sale, give me a sale, I'm desperate for a sale, I need a sale, 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 sale. And that's why you have a negative view of sales. You know how we were visualizing at the beginning of this session, saying, what do we visualize when we think of sales? And we visualize that used car salesman type person. Well, this is why you don't like selling, is because we've got this begging mentality that we have to go and beg for sales. But I actually disagree with the begging mentality. I want you to have dignity when you're sales. I don't want you to even call it sales anymore. I want you to call yourself an educator. I want you to be an expert educator in your field of excellence. And if you walk around with that energy, the energy of an educator, it's very different from walking around as a beggar looking for sales. Does that make sense? So if you are an expert educator, then you are those things that we discussed before. You have a good product knowledge. You're able to educate the client. And if they don't buy and they don't want to buy off you, then essentially you failed to educate your value. You failed to educate properly. And that's very different from, oh, they didn't buy, I lost the sale, and whatever else other excuses we give when we lose the sale. It's just we simply failed to educate. And so I want you to get better at educating. And I want you to see yourselves as an educator. I don't want you to have the title of account manager. I don't want you to have the title of sales manager. I don't want you to have the title of sales coordinator. I don't want any of those sales titles to be given to you. I want you to take them off your business card and I want you to put there educator. You are an expert in your field of excellence. The customer does not know what you know. And so I want you to put your head up. I want you to be proud to be an educator of this particular product or service. And I want you to be the expert in the room. And that holds a lot of dignity rather than a beggar. So that's the first kind of shift I'd like you to have. I really want you to shift away from the word sales and what you're visualizing is a salesperson. And I want you to change that picture into an educator. Now, what picture do you visualize when you think of that? All right. So let's move on now to when we're the educator, what that sort of actually can mean. It sort of comes in four ways. You can either be a trainer when you educate, and you could be a facilitator when you educate. You could be a coach when you educate, or you could be a mentor when you educate. And so if those four things are available to us as educators, what's the difference? When are we training? When are we coaching? When are we mentoring? And when are we facilitating? And so here's the difference. Because you are all four things, and sometimes you can be all four things inside the one conversation with the prospect. And so let's have a look at training, for example. You are training when you have an agenda and you have a path that you're going to follow, and you start at A and go to B and then C and D. And you see that when you go into a training session at, say, a college, you kind of know, here's your workbook, here's our path, and this is the curriculum we're going to get through. So whenever you've got that going on, you know you're training. So it doesn't matter what product or service you're talking about, sometimes you are training. You are, you know, you've got a set path you need to follow so that people understand what it is that they need to know and be educated about. The second one is facilitating. Now, sometimes you don't train. Sometimes you do a more advanced level of educating, and it's called facilitation. Now, you are facilitating when you don't have a workbook, you don't have a clear path. You kind of just ask, they ask you questions, and you facilitate their thinking around that thing that they want to know or that they need to know. So training is where you know what you're going to say, whereas facilitating, you wait to hear where they're at. And sometimes I use facilitation when you've got somebody with some basic knowledge. Sometimes they are advanced thinkers. Sometimes they know stuff about the subject, and you just need to fill in the gaps at the higher level as the expert. All right? So training and facilitating are two options for you. And I think training is done when they've got no baseline knowledge, and facilitating is done when they've got some level of knowledge. They want more to make a decision. and to be educated about the product or the service. So let's move to the next line. There's coaching and mentoring. So coaching, in its purest form, is asking questions. So anytime you ask a question of the prospect, you are coaching. And the more of an expert you are, the better your questions. So just add that into your vocabulary. Ask a lot of questions, because quite often you'll be able to see what their gaps are from there, and you'll be able to glean a lot of knowledge and direction so that you can facilitate a lot better, especially with advanced people. And mentoring, I do a lot of mentoring because people don't have time for coaching. Coaching takes a long time because you're asking questions that you know the answer to, but you want to know the answer from them. Whereas mentoring, what mentoring's really good, and it's very fast, is you just tell them what you know. Tell them what you recommend. You are the expert, so you just mentor them as to what you would buy or what you would do in this circumstance. So I love mentoring because it just, people want to know your opinion as the expert, so you just give it, and they're usually very thankful, and they're like, great, I can make a decision really fast now, because if that's what you do, then that makes sense to me. And off they go. So hopefully you guys have written that down, that you've written down that you are an educator, sure, but inside of that, you are training, facilitating, coaching, and mentoring. And the question is, how good are you at doing that? Regardless of whether you're on the retail floor or whether you're in an office and you're trying to influence staff, or whether you are an entrepreneur and you're in your own business and you're selling to your prospects, or whether you're up on stage and you're trying to sell from stage and you are training, coaching, and mentoring all at the same time while you do your keynote presentation. So this is happening all the time. Whether you're aware of it or not, you are presenting. You are always on. You are always presenting, and you're presenting either through training something in, facilitating something in, coaching something in, or you're mentoring. Either way, that to me is what sales is all about, that educational piece. And when you switch from sales to educator, and you start to really be conscious about training and facilitating and coaching and mentoring, gosh, your world opens up and you stop begging for sales, and people just buy easily and effortlessly because they trust you as the expert. They build rapport with you. They see your enthusiasm. They see your depth of knowledge. They don't want to know everything that you know. They just want to be helped to get to the point that they need to get to so that they can make an informed decision. And an informed decision only comes if you educate them really, really well. So hopefully that was of interest to you. Okay, so the next thing I want you to have a think about is sometimes salespeople are what I call people pleasers. They're yes men. They pretty much will say whatever to get the sale, but it's not real, it's not genuine. They're just people-pleasing. When you're no longer the beggar, you are no longer the people-pleaser. What starts to happen is you start to educate and you start to become the expert in your field of excellence. And what happens is it's easier to say to the client, you know, to the prospect, look, I understand where you're coming from, but that's not what I recommend. I understand where you're coming from, but I wouldn't do that if I were you. And I call this kind of conversation changing the goalposts. So they come in with, let's just take a television purchase as an example. So let's say they come in and they go, I want a TV. I want to buy a television. And you go to them, I wouldn't buy that TV if I were you. And they go, oh, my God, why? It's the biggest one. And they go, well, it might be the biggest one, but it's not the best quality. It is the pixelation is not what you could have. And I think quality of picture is important, not just the size of the television itself. So you move them over through education, you move them over into another option, and you go from there. And so if you're the people pleaser, all you do is you go, okay, biggest TV, that's all they want, fine, here it is, that's terrific, let's do the deal. And that's just people pleasing. That's not educating. And so I give you a basic example of the TV, but when you get up into big sales items, changing the goalpost is what it's all about. And that's the difference between getting a $50 sale and selling in something that's worth $5,000 or $10,000. And so, yeah, you've got to get really good at changing the goalposts so that they can see other options that they couldn't see before because they weren't educated properly. So if you're the people pleaser, you'll just follow their lead, whereas if you're the expert, they follow your lead because you're the expert. And if they want to know the latest about televisions and what's available, then why wouldn't they want to listen to you? You're the one that spends day in, day out selling TVs. So why wouldn't somebody want to hear it from the experts? They do. Not all of them. If that's what they want, then sell it to them, that's fine. But most people come in for a customer experience. They come in ready to buy a television or ready to buy whatever, but that final decision-making phase is where they really want to get educated and really make an informed decision that they're not going to regret. And so your job as the expert is to do that, is to educate them. And that means not being a people pleaser. It means changing the goalposts and moving the goalposts to over there. And that doesn't always mean, I'm not inferring that you always upsell and you always sell them something more expensive. That's not what it's about. If the cheaper product is better for them, and as the expert, that's what you diagnose, then that's what you sell them. Because you are a person of integrity. You are as an expert, you have integrity. As an expert, you don't want your reputation ever to be soiled. And so you always are educating about the right product for them, the right service for them. And so that doesn't always assume a bigger purchase or a more expensive purchase or flog them something that they don't need or want in their life. Because you don't want customers walking away with buyer's remorse. You want clients walking away happy as Larry, really thrilled with the decision that they've made, feeling really good that they got an education and they really made an informed decision that they're really happy with. So don't assume that selling them something cheaper is a problem. If it's something cheaper and that's all they need, then sell them that. I always used to appreciate somebody, and Apple do this really well, the Apple stores. They say to me things like, oh, you don't need that. Don't get that. It's a waste of money. Get this. That's more than enough for you. And straight away, that builds rapport, that builds trust, that I look up to them as the expert, and I walk away happy with my decision because they told me that was the experts told me that that's all I needed. So I really love that when that happens, and it builds so much rapport and trust, I cannot tell you. And as an expert, that's all we care about. We care about trust, and if you've got trust, that automatically means you've got rapport. Okay, so let's get away from that people pleaser piece. The next thing I want to discuss with you is where you are at on the importance continuum. The importance continuum. So I want you to visualize a line, and when they come in to buy something, when people come in to get an education, they want to, you know, buy a product or a service, suddenly you are very important to them. But the day before or the week before, you weren't important to them at all. So what I want you to look out for is where you are at on the importance continuum to your clients and to your prospects. And if you are of low importance, then I want you to behave accordingly. And if you are of high importance, then I think you can behave differently. So I don't know what a great example of this might be, but let's just say you're hungry. So suddenly food is important. And let's say they come up to, you know, your cafe, and obviously you are the most important thing in their life right now, and that is getting fed, getting some food in them, and having a really great experience at your cafe. Whereas 2 hours before that, they were wandering around the supermarket and they weren't thinking about food and you were not important to them. So imagine if you approached them and you said, oh my God, come over into my cafe. They would say, no, not interested. No, thank you. Please leave me alone. You are not important. So timing is everything. And I want you to really understand where you are on the importance continuum every minute of the day, every moment when you're talking and educating somebody. And if you are not important, then understand that and understand that you're not that important right now. And so don't try to pretend you're more important than you actually are to them right now. And this is a really advanced skill. Whereas salespeople always think that their product and service is the most important thing every day of the week to every single person. And it's not. It is absolutely not true. So if you can understand where you sit on the importance continuum, this is something that I've made up over the last 25 years of doing it, is really know when you suddenly become important. And you know that that means it's time to really educate. Whereas if there's no importance, no urgency, you know, you haven't come into their realm yet of thinking, then, you know, just do a little bit of education and let them be on their way. Let them go away and do more research, or let them go away and get education from other places. And if you hold yourself with integrity and you've built rapport and trust, I can pretty much promise they'll come back to you, pretty much. I can promise that, because no one else will be acting like you are, and no one would have built rapport like you have. But don't try and make yourself more important in the moment. If you're not important, then just accept that and educate a little bit, give them what they need in the moment, and let them be on their way. And this is a real, real key point. The other thing I want you to notice is that some people think that being an extrovert is what makes a great salesperson. And actually, it's the opposite. Extroverts do too much talking. Extroverts don't listen as well as introverts. Extroverts, it's all about me.com. And so this is where a lot of the time salespeople have got bad reputations for being too talkative, too in your face, too full on, and all of those sort of things. What I want you to do is think about, if you are a bit of an introvert, get more confident that you're going to be actually a better salesperson, a better educator, because you listen more. You're able to listen deeply. Introverted energies are more relaxed, a little bit more grounded. They're more in the moment. They're present in their bodies. So for you extroverts out there, I want you to calm down and I want you to relax and I want you to become more grounded like an introvert. And I want you to really be in your body. And if you are, you'll go deeper with clients. Introverts are fabulous at building rapport and trust. They come across as very, very credible. They're deep thinkers. They often have terrific product knowledge. Whereas extroverts are too busy talking to learn anything a lot of the time. So I just want to bust that myth that extroverts are great salesperson people. And I want you to hire introverts. I want you to encourage introverts. I want you to train and educate introverts, because they are truly terrific educators and obviously ultimately salespeople. So just bear that in mind. And if you are an extreme extrovert, then the best thing you can do is learn to shut up. Extroverts have just got to calm down and just be quiet more and listen more and find out more about the customer. The other principle that I teach when I'm sales training is I talk about flexibility. So there's nothing worse than a scripted salesperson. There's nothing more worse than a robotic salesperson, somebody that's just regurgitating crap that they've been told that they don't really know. I want you to have flexibility to change your approach depending on who's in front of you. Now, if a visual is in front of you, then they're gonna want to see the product, the service. They're gonna want to see what you've got. They want you to show them everything about the thing. With auditory clients, I want you to, they want to talk and they want to ask questions and they want to hear from you. Kinesthetic clients, they want to touch, feel, have a go. They want to do it. So if you've got to really work out and have flexibility of behavior to be able to adjust yourself to a visual client, an auditory client, or a kinesthetic client. And then the final bit of that puzzle is knowing what level of detail somebody needs. So some people are low detail, some people are medium detail, some people are high detail, and some people are problematic detail. And those problematic people, they will get out the, they'll want to see the contract, they'll want to read the contract, they will want to get the instruction manual out and have a flip through that. And so if they want that level of detail, then give it to them. But to be honest, the majority of people, especially 40% of people are visual, they don't like a lot of detail. Kinesthetics are 40% of your market. So kinesthetic people, they just want to get in and have a crack and have a go at doing it. Or want to touch it and feel it and see how it feels. So let them do that. They don't care about the details. So that's 80% of people don't want to know about the detail. So just bear that in mind when you're talking to people. And if you are a high detail person, then your job as a salesperson is to learn to stop giving people too much detail. And that's why you're losing a lot of sales, because people are just glazing over. They think you're droning on about God knows what, and you're just going on and on and on about detail that you think is important, but is not important to 80% of the people that you talk to. So just bear in mind, you've got to have that ability, that flexibility to be able to adapt to different people and different audiences and different approaches so that you get the sale every time, not just people that are like you. Okay, so on the final note, I just want to finish off with sort of saying that the best thing you can be is yourself. So the more authentic you are, the more real you are, the more genuine you are, the more true to yourself you are, the better a salesperson you will be, the more sales you'll close. If you are fake, if you're trying to pretend you're somebody that you're not, you're trying to pretend that you know more than you know, if you don't know how to be flexible with different types of people, the best thing to be is authentic. And I think you've seen that over the years. I think in the last decade, we've come a long way. And now we pretty much only love authentic, real, genuine. That's what we're after now. When we're getting educated by people, we want to know the truth. We want to know the inside information. We want to see behind the screen. We want to see, you know, behind the scenes. You know, we want to see all that. So have a think about how real you are day to day when you're out there educating your market about your products and your services. How authentic, how real are you? And are you refreshing? Are you refreshingly honest? Because if you are refreshingly honest and you're a great educator, then success is yours. So it's time now to become the educator, to become the trainer, the facilitator, the coach and the mentor, and to take your sales to the next level. So let's have a chat to Dwight. How was all that for you? Any questions?
I think it was beautiful. You touched on some stuff that is simple, but the ramifications of it can be compound complex in a positive way, especially with this piece about authentic, because authentic is not a word that you usually hear often. But on the Ark of Adelphi, it says, to thy own self be true. So basically, if you're not true with yourself, it's impossible for you to be honest and have integrity with anybody else. And you gave them heavy pointers on being real. I mean, whenever you're in the marketplace, people know, especially people with money, they know the real from the fake. So you can't be desperate and put out one type of energy like you're not desperate, if that makes sense.
It does.
And I think something else that I have that lines up with the being real piece, the authentic, and being the best version of you, is there is a natural law of compensation and there's also a spiritual law of compensation. Like, Each of us have innate abilities and giftings and talents. And when we're working in harmony and in congruence with those giftings, things automatically happen if we just show up and put out the right energy. That's why we're supposed to be always working on our craft, strengthening our knowledge base, you know, iron sharpening iron. That's why it's important to have, we talked about some of the categories, accountability and accountability partners, and taking personal responsibility. And I heard and felt you when you said excuses or excuse driven. That creates a chaotic atmosphere where good results just can't happen.
Yeah, totally. I think sales, let's just bring it down into the spiritual now, because as you, if you've heard some of our other discussions between Dwight and I, everything comes back to spirituality and it comes back to energy. And sales to me is very much a spiritual experience, a wonderful exchange where people can connect that would never connect in normal life. And so it's just wonderful. And just think about what it has taken for the universe, the billion things that had to happen over 20, 30 years for that person to be standing right there in front of you in that one moment in time. An incredible thought. And so every time somebody is standing in front of me and it is my time to communicate, suddenly I have appeared important in their continuum. Suddenly I see that as a great honor that the universe now wants me to help that person. The meaning of life is to help us. And for the meaning of life is to help others, how are you helping them? Everything we do, every person on this earth is helping others in some way, shape or form. And so how are you helping them today? How are you educating them so that they can improve their life with whatever it is that they think is important right now? You know, that could be simply buying a TV, or it could be right up to purchasing a mentoring program or a coaching program or some new training to build their career or to build their business or to do whatever. And so it's an incredible honor. And if you approach every customer, every potential client as a great honor that the universe has delivered to your doorstep, then you will exchange with reverence. You will teach with reverence. You will just deal with it so differently than just another prospect to sell something to. It's a completely different exchange of energy when you come at it with great reverence and great honor to have this person put in front of you. They could have been put in front of a billion other opportunities, but they weren't. They were put in front of you. Isn't that amazing? I just think it's amazing. And after 30 years of doing this, I just still think it is incredible who you get given to help. And so always remember, the meaning of life is to help others. The purpose in life is to learn and grow. And so in your field of excellence, always be learning and growing, always becoming the next level of your expertise. So that when that honor comes and a person is put in front of you, whether that's in front of you or over the phone or however it comes, doesn't really matter. They're in front of you now. They're interacting with you now. Then just remember, it's your time. And that opportunity is like a billion to one chance that that person was put in front of you to help. And that is, I think, spiritual. I actually think that's really a spiritual duty to help people. And we just help them in our own special little ways. I happen to be a business mentor, sure. So I help people like that. But if you are on the retail floor somewhere in this beautiful world, then, you know, you're helping them in that way for now. And you might have dreams to help people in a different way. But nothing exists on this planet if it doesn't help another person. It exists because it helps others. And so it's always the meaning of life is to help others. It's incredible. And so there's an exchange of energy no matter what the amount of money is. There's an exchange of love, care, patience, because to educate takes love, care, and patience. And so if we see ourselves as salespeople just doing a money exchange, I'll give you this if you give me that, it's not the same as an educator energy exchange where you come at it with love, care, and affection, love, care, and education, and just love and care to help these people with whatever their needs are that happens to be in the form of your product or your service. And that's why that product and service exists, is to help somebody with something. And so I just see sales as a really beautiful expression in the world. And so what do you think, Dwight? Do you think I've got it across a little bit for people about my views around sales?
Absolutely. It's unorthodox. It's profound, though, and it reigns truth. And anyone that just begins to apply that into their routine has no other option but to have immense success.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much, Dwight, for having me today. It's been fun, and I'm talking about one of my favorite subjects, and that's, you know, money and sales and how all that fits together in the world. And if people want to reach out, they're more than welcome. I've got a website called becomingtheexpert.com.au. And on that website, you're able to book in for a free discovery session where you get an hour of my time just to go over the subject today. So you can book in and sort of talk about where you're at with sales, what are you selling, what are your goals, where do you want to go, you know, what do you want to do? Do you want to start a business? Do you want to climb the ladder in corporate? Do you want to become better in some way in your career or business? That's what we'll be talking about. So feel free to reach out, take that opportunity while it's there, and let's talk about your sales skills, and let me see if I can help you. And normally I can help within sort of 15 minutes, 30 minutes, we've got the problem nailed. So come to me with your problems and issues, and let's discuss it from a business mentor point of view, and let me educate you so that I can help you be the best version of yourself and just take your career and your business just to that next level. And I love helping people that way. So yeah, reach out, becomingtheexpert.com.au, jump on and book in for a free discovery session. It's my gift to you today. Lots of love, everyone.
Thank you, Katrina. In drawing to a close, I have several things that I want to say, and I'm going to start with this. The unthinkable becomes reality for you when you arise in the morning, look in the mirror, and understand that your eyes carry your rank, and decide that there is nobody else in the whole wide world that you would rather be, simply because all you can be is you. The unthinkable becomes reality for you when you realize that you are a gift to the world and understand your presence counts, and your energy alone is enough to not only shift your consciousness. It is so powerful, it can shift the entire planet when properly understood. The unthinkable becomes reality for you when you recognize that you are the captain of your own soul and master of your own fate, and fully comprehend that you are an infinite being with absolutely no limits or restrictions except those that you personally buy, and there is absolutely no limits or restrictions to what you can do or accomplish. Now I leave you with some quotes. One of the greatest pieces of wisdom is to know what you do not know. John Kenneth Galbraith. The desire to be important is the deepest urge in human nature. John Dewey. The deepest principle in human nature is the craving to be appreciated. Psychologist William James. If we examine our thoughts, we shall find them always occupied with the past and the future. Blaise Pascal. People tend to dwell more on negative things with judgment, guilt, and anxiety produced by thoughts about the future and so on. Eckhart Tolle. I will allow no man to belittle my soul by making me hate him. Booker T. Washington. And the last quote, each of us should make the most of our lives. We should give our life our best. Let us use our lives more wisely to chase our dreams and find our true purpose and be as happy and successful as possible. Malcolm X. So as we close, I say, be the change that you want to see. Be an agent of change. Be an ambassador of change. First, you will change you. Then your world and everything in it will change. I'm going to tell you what Katrina Frill means to me. Katrina Frill represents unconditional love, faith, and supreme confidence. And I thank you. She is my family. She is a gift to the world. Everybody needs to line up and reach out to her and begin to follow her principles. I will put her and Pip McKay up against any transformational leader in the entire world. They are the best of the best, so don't take it lightly. Thank y'all. Until the next show, keep walking and using your faith.
Discover the power of positivity. Identify your gifts. Then plan and execute your passion, and ultimately thrive exponentially in life, and most importantly in business, on Sudden Eye Impact with your host, Lee.